Let's ready our hearts and our minds to worship God. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, God. Come before you in the name of Jesus. Without him, we really wouldn't even be able to come before you. But because of him, because of the name above all names, we're able to come into your presence, into your throne room, seek your face, lift our voices in praise and worship to you. We get to truly fellowship with you and spend time with you, God, because of your son, Jesus. So we thank you so much for him. And we're going to lift up his name this morning, God. We just ask that you'd be among us so that you'd... Your word says anyone who's weary or heavy laden or burdened to come to Jesus and to cast our cares on him, to trust in him, to find our rest in him. So God, I just ask that you'd help us to take hold of that truth this morning, to cast all our burdens and cares upon you because you care for us. Help us to shift our focus to you and to you alone, and help us to worship you with a full heart of gratitude for what you've done for us. We hoped and we want and we know we have the promise to thank you for all of eternity for saving us, God. So help us to get a glimpse of worshiping you among the angels this morning. We love you so much, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us worship.
Sometimes you gotta stare down the praise you anywhere. Thank you. Hallelujah, 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 that Jesus is awesome, that he is all that we need, as he is all that we will ever need. Hallelujah, Lord, that you provide us with everything, Lord. Hallelujah, that you provide not just us inside this walls with everything, but that you provide everyone throughout the world with everything they need, Lord. Lord, and as we transition to pray for Israel, we know your awesomeness, Lord. We know that you will provide everything that they need in their time of struggle, Lord. We know that you will provide everything that they need, that the people that are there on the ground, that you will provide for them everything they need, Lord. You know, in Psalm 122, verse 6, it says, "Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem." And Lord, what is best for Jerusalem is you, Jesus, that you will provide everything, Lord. You will provide the leaders that are there with the wisdom to make the right choices, Lord. That they seek your face, Lord, in the decisions that they're making, Lord. That everyone that's there, that they will seek your face for protection, for peace, for love, for comfort as they go through these trials, Lord. But in the end, Lord, we know that you are victorious, Lord. That you are the ultimate victor, Lord. And that you will provide us with the peace, the love, the security, and everything that we need, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. How about a shout of praise for the one who gives us everything? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys can be seated. If this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you this morning. And we do that around here by just honoring you by clapping for you. So, welcome. But of course, we don't want to just clap for you, right? We want to truly connect with you. We're a family. We want to connect with you. And the easiest way for you to do that is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. A small link will come back to you. And then, of course, you have some action there. Just take a second to fill that link out. And then just like that, shabam, we're connected. And of course, we're not just, you know, shabamming each other. We want to be connected in lots of ways. So we have, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. If you want to email the office, it's office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. And then if you haven't met with Pastor Brad ever, make sure you take a few minutes to meet with Pastor Brad. He'll be out in the narthex after service if he doesn't get stopped right here in front of the stage. But Pastor Brad.
Amen. I'd love to meet you. If I have not met you, it'd be great. Sometimes I don't get within any further than 6 feet from the front of this, but I try to get out there. But you, if you see I'm standing up here, come up and introduce yourself. I would love to meet you. A few weeks ago, we did a membership induction, and Kevin and Hannah couldn't be with us due to family needs and crisis. And so this morning, I'm going to do their membership induction. Membership at Seaport is anything other than just joining a church role. It's not show up a few times and be a member. It's a lot more than that. Membership includes several things here at Seaport. It is members who will, although they've never done this, they will sometime in the near future, at some point, they will elect a new pastor at Seaport Community Church. It will be them that does that. Every year at the annual business meeting, it's members who have a voice. They're the ones that have a say in how major decisions are made, who's elected to serve as our primary governing board, our deacons. They're involved in all of that. They have an important role in making sure that the church stays on track philosophically, morally, and doctrinally. They have a say in all of that. But it's really more, even more than that, it's about demonstrating a life of maturity and commitment to this body of believers as we try to live out the mission that God has given to this body. And so the process is not simple nor easy, but it requires a person to have a track record of faithfulness and involvement and giving, and there has to be a track record of that before the invitation is given. Requires a seminar that they must attend, an application, a review by our board of deacons, and then the final step is today, the induction. And so this morning I'm going to ask Kevin and Hannah if they would come join me on the platform. I'll take them through this induction, and this is just a critical moment and a final piece, and it's so good to have these two joining us. Although daughter is coming, she's not being inducted into membership. But she is certainly helpful in the the cute effect. Anyway, I want to, good morning, and I want to read this statement of membership commitment to you, and then ask you to respond, I will, if this is indeed your intent. And so let me read this to you today. Today, in the presence of God, in this community of your fellow believers, do you hereby make a commitment to uphold and abide by the standards of membership for this church? Do you realize that your greatest contribution is a fully devoted life to Jesus Christ, to the body of believers, and to a world that's in desperate need of salvation? Are you in agreement today that membership is simply your way of expressing your wholehearted desire, commitment, loyalty, and support to the unique role the Seaport Community Church plays in touching the world for Christ? If this is your desire, and today you want to respond, make this commitment to expend all effort to fulfill, please answer, I will.
I will.
Let me pray. Let me pray for them. And these guys have been such a wonderful addition to this church. Yeah. You know? Kevin has a very effective teaching gift, and many of you have seen that in action. You know, Hannah has supported our nursery and our mom's events, and we're just blessed to have you guys here. We're glad that the Navy brought you here. You know, really, the Navy never brings you here. You know that, right? God just uses the Navy to get you here. That's all. I know some of you are like, Groton, is there anything else? I know. But I'm always grateful when the Lord brings you here. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for Kevin, Hannah. Lord, they have blessed this church. They have poured out effort into this place. God, their lives speak of commitment. Their lives speak of desire to grow. Their lives, God, they're faithful and supportive. They're engaged. And God, we're so honored to have them here. Thanks for using the Navy to send them here. We're grateful for that. And Lord, on this step of membership, may they truly honor and fulfill the commitment that they just made for the glory of your great name. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. Would you give them a good round of applause? Hallelujah. Don't go anywhere yet. This church has lots of certificates. It's kind of like the Navy. The Navy has like ribbons and medals and certificates for everything. We don't pass out medals necessarily, unless you're in Royal Rangers. But Kevin, your certificate of membership, Hannah, God bless you guys. Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Congratulations to you. God bless you guys. You can be seated. Hallelujah. As we prepare to receive the Lord's tithes and his offerings, let me just tell you just kind of a quick story. Sarah owned a small bakery in her town, and it was just kind of enough to get her by. It wasn't a thriving business, but she was kind, and she was gracious and humble, and was just honored to have it. And at closing time, one day, a stranger came to the bakery, and his clothes, his face, his demeanor all spoke of one thing: hard times. He didn't have much. And Sarah said, you know, I'm about to close, and there's not much here, but you know what? You look like you could use something, so you're here. Take this. It's not much, but it's fresh, and just hope it helps you. The man perked up a bit and said, God bless you, and turned and walked out the door. She'd never seen him before. Didn't expect to see him again. As the weeks and the months would pass, business would take a downturn and bills would stack up, and she wondered what was going to happen, if she would even have this business any longer, when a letter came from an attorney from the law firm. And she thought, oh boy, here we go. Here we go. But to her amazement, when she opened the letter, she discovered it was not what she thought, but instead, she was being informed that the bakery's mortgage had been paid in full, and that money had been put into her account to further her business. She immediately contacted the law firm, and they refused to divulge the identity of the benefactor. She was just left to wonder. I've had that experience. It's an amazing thing. Sarah would just go about her business now with a new zest for life and for a bakery. And months would just go on, and life would go on. Until one day, an individual stopped into the bakery. He looked oddly familiar. She couldn't really place him. She thought, I think I've met him before, but doesn't look like anybody I know. The man began, and he said, you know what? I was here at closing time many months ago. I'd once had a very successful business and fallen on hard times. I was about the end. I stumbled into this bakery, and your act of kindness was enough to spark a hope in me again. I went out, was able to get a hold of my life and business and regain what I'd lost. I thought, how could I possibly honor a simple gift? And he said, so it is I who paid your mortgage and gave you funds to continue. Sarah, of course, was overcome. One simple act of generosity, you never know the impact, do you? As you give today, your act of generosity is going to impact in ways you could never dream. You'll hear about that again in a moment. As you go into the world this afternoon and this week, be God's generosity to people. You just don't know the impact on their hearts and their lives. Sarah did it out of the generosity of her heart, never imagining anything like that could happen. Do it just because you love the Lord and you care for people. Let him take care of the blessing. It will surely come. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of giving. A lot of our giving is not met with great and dramatic stories like Sarah's. But we never really know the full impact of what we give until that day we see you face to face. May we be a people of generosity and kindness and mercy. Thanks, Lord. And this offering today be glorified and be honored in every part of it, we pray. Amen, friends.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Lots of ways to give around here. You're acquainted probably with most of them. You can go on the app. That's usually the best way to do it, the app. Or you can, you know, you can go to one of the little giving boxes out here. You can do that. You can use, you know, text in church. You can give that way if you want to do that. Whatever works best for you, you can do it that way. Chris is going to come and share some opportunities with us. And there's so much going on here. Aren't you grateful? Yeah. I've had policemen actually say, there's always cars in this parking lot. What's going on at this church? So it's an active place. I loved it when they were recoating the pavement out here in the parking lot. The guys were almost frustrated because they could never find enough time to get the work done. They had to do it kind of like late at night because they said, there's always cars in this parking lot. I said, it's an active place. Aren't you grateful?
Hallelujah, that we have so many opportunities, and you know, I'm going to be talking to you about them, but if you don't have the Church Center app, that's the easiest way for you guys to find all these things and for you to sign up for all these kind of things. And if you just hit that QR code that's on the back of one of those seats in front of you, you can download it. And so, we have some awesome opportunities. Today, if you're a teen and you haven't done Engage, it's a time for you guys to figure out what your spiritual gifts are, and Pastor Brad's going to be meeting with you guys after service in the fellowship hall, so make sure you guys are there today. Motorcycle Monday is only a couple weeks left because it's still getting cold, although I'll probably keep riding into the colder months. Ladies' Bible Study is on Monday evenings on Zoom and also Thursdays here in the church, and they're going to be starting their series in Hagar. And so if you need a study guide for that, you can get that out at the information desk. This Wednesday, Pastor Brad's going to be bringing us a message talking about, are we in the great falling away? And then Adam will continue his series in Hebrews, and then Belong is happening. So Wednesdays, lots of things happening around here. And then, of course, we're a praying church. We have lots and lots of opportunities to pray. So make sure that you guys are getting involved in one of those things. It doesn't even matter. Hey, maybe you're an early morning riser and you need a prayer meeting to go to. Guess what? We have one of those on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. So make sure you guys come here and join Pastor Brad and Matt, because I know they're always here on Wednesdays. And then if you have not volunteered to sign up for Light the Night, which is going to be this awesome outreach that we're going to do in military housing, at my house actually, where we're just going to be there to bring the light to those that are walking around on Halloween, right? We want to share the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus with everyone that's going to be there. And there are going to be lots of people that are out that day. And so most of you have one of these on your chair, but they're not going to do any good on your chair. So make sure you take them home, pass them out. Don't even put them on your refrigerator. Take it, give it to somebody, invite them to church. Because we have the Light a Night event, but then we have this new series called Trouble to Triumph that's starting in November. And we also have these awesome new t-shirts. So if you haven't pre-registered for a t-shirt, make sure you jump on the app and do so. And now Pastor Debbie is going to come up and talk to us about this awesome craft fair that's happening in a couple weeks. Pastor Debbie?
Thank you, Chris. Good morning. I'm not used to standing at this pulpit. I'm used to standing at that pulpit. So one of the best things about being part of a church community is sharing the joy of serving. Don't you agree? At Seaport, we offer a multitude of opportunities to serve, and here's one more. The Craft Fair for Missions is looking for people to donate baked goods for the event. If you're interested in participating, we will be at the table in the narthex following the service with a clipboard so you can sign up with what you'd like to bake for the event. We also need helpers on the day before and the day of the fair to help with setup and breakdown. You can sign up there as well at the table for that as well. It's going to be a great day, so sign up in the narthex to help us. You can also help if you're not a baker and you're not a crafter. You can help by advertising the event. Share the Facebook event. There's an ad available to you on Seaport's public page. You can share it on your page, share it with your friends. Also, on your seat, some of you will find a flyer, old-fashioned flyer. Grab a few of these. They're at the information center. There's going to be some at the table in the narthex. Hang them up in your neighborhood, at your grocery, laundromat, or restaurants that you frequent. November 4th is approaching quickly, and we want to get the word out to bring in as many people as possible to help us with this great event for the kids of Ghana. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I got that. Amen. So I want you to stand. I want you to stand with me just before I release the kids. We're going to pray for the craft fair. It's not a craft fair. It's a mission event. Right? The goal is to help raise $22,000. That's what it's going to take to make this thing happen there in the West African country of Ghana. That God put it upon my heart that we as a church are to help 5,000 Ghanaian children get access to medical care. It is hard for us to believe, but a Ghanaian child can get in to see a doctor, receive basic medication that often will save their life, and get that coverage for a year for one American dollar. In order to make this happen, to travel over there, get the teams around and make all this happen, it'll cost about $22,000 to make it all happen. That's really not a whole lot of money, is it? There are some of us in this room that spend more than that on our family for health insurance every year. Let's pray together that this thing is incredibly successful. Amen? This is about changing the lives of 5,000 kids. Father, this is your heart. This isn't some idea of mine. This is your heart. And we're just trying to find ways to facilitate your heart in reaching children. Lord, our desire is not only to provide medical care and provide medical insurance through the Guinean government, but Lord, it is our desire to introduce them to Jesus who will save their soul. That's really the big mission. That's the big mission. And so, Lord, help Gifty and Maxwell and that whole team that they've assembled. And God, and help us as we come alongside and we partner and co-labor to see this happen. And Lord, although we may never meet any of these children, Lord, the fact that you've honored us with the privilege of ministering to them and caring for them is good enough. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just trust you. God, these crafts, they're not crafts. They're your heart in action. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Yeah, please follow through with what Pastor Debbie has said, and that would be great if you would do that. I'm going to release the youth right now, our middle schoolers. They can head out of here right now, and they're going to head over to the fellowship hall. You guys are on your own. Yeah, for the high schoolers, I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it. This is kind of a one-off, and I'm going to teach them and engage and kind of do it a little differently for them. But I'm going to help them to understand what spiritual gifts are in their lives, what their personality is, how all that works together. And this will give them an incredible understanding who God made them to be, and it will help them to understand potentially his future plans for them as well. So I'm excited to do this with them, and that's what's happening, and that's what we're doing after the service, and we'll eat pizza too. All right, are you ready this morning? Here we go. All right. I don't know. Was Jesus just in a mood? Was he hangry? I mean, what in the world was going on? And what was the big deal with that fig tree anyway? The disciples probably had those questions in their hearts and in their minds. But let's back up and find out just really what was going on. The previous day was Sunday. You know, it was the day when Jesus recruited a couple of his guys to bring him a donkey's colt, and he rode on this colt, and as he approached the city, a spontaneous parade broke out. People ripped down palm branches, threw down their coats, and paved the way, so to speak, for whom they believed was the coming king. And they shouted, and they sang, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were welcoming whom they thought was their king and deliverer from the Romans. As Jesus strode in and came into the city and came up to the temple, he dismounted and walked into the temple. And what he saw there did more than irritate him, angered him deeply. And Adam talked to us a little bit about what happened last week. Jesus looked around and he saw these guys that should have been on the outside, but now they had their wares and they had everything set up on the inside of the temple. The temple was a huge complex, the size of 40 football fields, huge. And these guys were there. Here's the problem that Jesus had with these guys, just to remember. Number one, they had a legitimate business to do currency exchange. But the problem was, they were ripping people off with inordinate exchange rates. They had a legitimate business to make various kinds of sacrifices available to the pilgrims that were coming in on one of the three high holy days, the Passover. Traveling too far to bring a sacrifice, they could buy one there. But the problem of it was they were ripping the pilgrims off, sometimes charging up to 50 times what they were worth. To top it all off, these guys were inside the temple area where they shouldn't be, all with the approval of the priests who were probably on the take. As you heard last week, Jesus drove them out. The fact that he had come in and the people had lauded him with such praise and adoration did not ingratiate himself to the priests and the religious leaders. And now driving those people out and hurting their business didn't do Jesus any favors in their eyes either. But it was only going to get worse, because there was a group of blind people and lame people that had a special room inside the temple. And when they heard that Jesus was there, they came to Jesus and Jesus healed them. Jesus healed them. Again, showing up the religious leaders who, although they had all the outside paraphernalia and regalia didn't have power to heal the sick. Jesus, it says, after all of this, was so fed up, he left. Left. That was someday. That was Sunday. But it's now Monday, the next day, the week of Passion. This is the week that Jesus would be betrayed and crucified. It was this week. And this is, it's Monday morning. And Jesus and his guys are returning to the city. Can you imagine what those guys must have been thinking as they made their way down the hill toward, through the valley, up to the city of Jerusalem? Can you imagine? Probably thinking, if yesterday's trouble wasn't bad enough, what's going to happen today? Can you imagine what they were thinking? You know? I mean, they wonder just what's going to happen. And Jesus is hungry. Why they didn't stop at Dunkin's for breakfast, I don't know. But they just made their way down. And Jesus spies a fig tree that was in full leaf. And he kind of makes his way right for that, thinking he's going to have a breakfast of figs. Now, the law allowed passerbys to stop and to help themselves to whatever could be, vegetables or grains or fruit, whatever's available. They could take enough for their immediate needs. Of course, they couldn't bag and take it with them, but they could take enough. The law allowed that. It was just a way of expressing kindness and generosity to passerbys who needed it. Jesus was well within his rights to do what he was about to do. But he comes up to this tree that looked like it should be covered in fruit. And I don't know if you've ever seen a fruit tree that looks like, wow, this thing should be covered in fruit, but there's nothing there, or almost nothing there. And Jesus comes up to the fig tree, and there's nothing on this tree. Nothing. And Jesus curses the tree, and it immediately begins to wither. And the disciples are shocked. They've already had one wild day, and the next day is just about to be more intense. They're shocked. They're shocked that it would respond so quickly, and that Jesus would do that. But the question remains, why would Jesus curse the fig tree? I mean, was he still upset from yesterday's events? I mean, was he just really, really hangry? Was he in a bad mood? Had Peter again said something stupid? What was it? It was not unusual at that time for the prophets to create visuals, to give signs, to help people to remember the word of the Lord to them. So this, as Jesus is acting as a prophet, he creates a sign for them to remember. And obviously, they remembered, because Matthew and Mark wrote about it. I mean, it makes quite an impression upon these guys. What Jesus was simply saying was this. These Jewish leaders are a lot like this fig tree. They're in full leaf. They look like they should have all kinds of fruit, but they don't have any fruit. Nothing. When you get real close, although they look like it, they had all the outside, all the externals, but when you get up real close, there was nothing to them. And Jesus was making a dramatic point among many other lessons that are there. Now, we could blame those guys, those Pharisees and Sadducees and the Essenes and the Zealots and all those guys. We could blame them. We could blame them, you know. But it's obvious in other places in Scripture where Jesus makes it very clear and Paul the Apostle makes it very clear that there are plenty of people with a form of godliness but with no power. They've got all the externals. They look holy. They look the part. They talk the part. But there's no fruit that demonstrates that the power of God is actually flowing in them and through them. And Jesus makes a very dramatic point to these guys as to what not to be and to what to be. I guess the question really is this for me and for you. Is the power of God so at work in your life that there's evident fruit? Do people see change? Do they see the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life? Are you experiencing answers to prayer? If the power of God is in operation in your life, your character is going to change and the fruit of your life and the impact of others is going to grow. And you're going to see dramatic answers to prayer. If that's not happening, you have to ask, am I just all show and no go? Do I just got the religious thing going on? It's obvious that Jesus didn't have much patience for that. It's interesting to me where Jesus goes right there. He doesn't talk about judgment. He doesn't talk about, that would come later. Later on, he would spend a whole chapter, the 23rd chapter of Matthew, where he just bashes the Pharisees mercilessly, you know, for their hypocrisy and the such. But this wasn't that moment. No. No, he had a greater message for these men. As I always do. As I always do. I say, Lord, what is it that you want your people to hear and to know? What is it? I'm not interested in preaching sermons. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in you learning and growing. So I always ask the Lord, what is it exactly that you want your people to learn and to know and to grow? And it was very simple. The response to me was very simple. He said to me, I want them to learn to pray. And I think if you've been aware of what's happened in the world in the last 8 or 9 days, you can kind of understand the importance of learning how to pray as we watch what could be actually the beginnings of World War III taking place in Israel. It might be a good time to learn to pray. Amen. Let me say this to all of you. One of the things that I decided to do when I became a Christian at 16. I decided not long after that that I would learn to pray. Prayer was always a high value in the community which I was a part. But I decided I would learn how to pray because it was a simple thought in my mind. And that was, if I learned how to pray, I could see the hand of God move and do dramatic things. And so I needed to learn how to do that. And I set out at 16 and 17, to learn how to pray. And I would read such books like at 17 and 18, Reese Howell's Intercessor. Can you imagine reading that book when you're 17 and 18? Whew. I would read about John praying Knox, you know. I would read, and even to this day, I have many books on prayer, and I still read books on prayer because I still believe. And when Seaport was started 35 years ago, we decided that we would start a prayer meeting because I wanted to encode into the DNA of this church the importance of prayer. Because prayer does change things, friends. It changes things. When Seaport stops becoming a praying church, I believe it will cease to exist. I don't say that lightly. There are a few things that scare me more than when I see the prayer life of Seaport begin to ebb. Nothing, I don't think anything scares me more than that, because I know the power of prayer. Most of what has happened at Seaport Community Church has been the direct result of prayer. There are many things that have happened in this church through the years. I've stood back and I've said, I know I did not do that. That was the hand of God. It was the hand of God. But why is it that so many of us struggle to pray or to attend prayer meetings? I mean, even today, and I'm not going to do this, but even today, and hang on, you might want to tighten your seatbelt. It's going to get a little bumpy here. Even today, if I was to ask you, how many of you by raised hand, and don't raise your hand, how many of you by raised hand would say prayer is extremely important? I dare say most of our hands would go up. And if I was to follow up and I would say, how many of you attended a prayer meeting this week? I'd say about 80% of the hands would go down. Why is that? Why do we struggle to pray? Oh, we love to pull the busy card. Who isn't busy? Who isn't busy? I mean, you know what? But that's an easy go-to excuse. Can I say this? And let me say it again. You make time to pray. You make time to pray. And I know what it's like to be busy, friends. Sometimes it's a lack of faith. We don't believe that prayer changes anything. And if you have a lack of faith and you don't pray, of course nothing's going to happen. nothing will happen. You know? Sometimes I've had people say, I would like to pray, but I just don't know how to pray. I understand that. I get it. That's why I set out. I read every book on prayer I could find and I'd read it. I'd find people that knew how to pray and I'd go pray with them. And I can tell you one time I went to pray with this one guy. I said, hey, I want to go pray with you. He was a praying machine, this dude. And I said, I want to go pray with you. And so we went down to the prayer room at 6 o'clock when I was a student. Debbie and I were students at North Point. We went down at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. And at 9 o'clock, I said, man, I'm out, man. I'm done. He kept going. I hung around those kinds of guys. And the two primary guys today, I can still, one of them is a missionary that this church supports, Steve Ford, who was a druggie in Roger Williams Park when a bunch of Bible school students preached the gospel to him and he got saved. Another one is Eddie. Eddie, pastor of the church in Poughkeepsie, New York, for a long time, very effectively, until he retired. There's no really excuse to say, I don't know how. I don't know how many weeks Ed has gone online and at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night and done videos on how to pray. And opportunities around here to pray and books and resources, that's really just not a good excuse. Just really not. It's really not. Sometimes we don't pray because, you know, I prayed once and it didn't work. Nothing happened. If you can be dissuaded that easily, well, I would encourage you to try again. Try again. And we all have those things that we prayed for and didn't come through like we'd hoped and like we thought. We all have those. I have those too. And sometimes God lets me know why that happened, and other times I'm just still trusting him. But I refuse to be deterred by that because I know God hears and answers. I've seen too much to doubt. Sometimes people have said, I feel unworthy. Who am I? What am I that God will listen to me? And you're right. Who are you? You're nothing. And neither am I. Nothing. But been made sons and daughters of the living God by the blood of Jesus. And that makes you something. So much something that we can boldly access the throne of grace to a Father who says, I'm so glad you're here. Who wants to hear from you. Do you know that? Do you know how many times the Lord has said to me, he said, I'm waiting for you. I've had the Lord say to me as I've gone to pray at Bluff Point, I'm so glad you're here. I've been waiting for you. Like what? Don't keep him waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Sometimes it's unresolved sin. Yeah, we've all been there. Heard it last week during communion. You know, that sin that comes and the conviction, the condemnation, all those things keep us from, you know, take care of it. Deal with it. And go on. Amen? Don't let it be a game changer or a stop. Just deal with it and go on. I get it. Sometimes prayer becomes nothing more than a wish list and we just go, well, you know, I just got this list. And every day I pray, I just go down my list. Well, no wonder you don't want to pray. That sounds horrible. Sounds horrible to God, too. Don't do that. Instead, do this. Just come before the Lord and just simply say, Lord, I've come to worship you. Lord, I've come just to listen to you. Lord, I've just come to be with you and do what I do. Lord, what do you want me to pray about today? Sometimes I have lists. Sometimes you're in my heart, you're in my mind. But God responds immediately every time I say, God, what do you want me to pray about? He'll bring your name. He'll bring some need. And I pray about that. And then I'll pray about the next thing he gives me. It becomes a conversation. And I'll say, Lord, what is it that you need to say to me today? And I listen. And it becomes a relationship, not a rehearsal of a grocery list. That's terrible. Reduce your prayer life to a prayer list. There's a place for that. But then I understand, too, that sometimes people say, well, you know, I'd rather work than pray. Well, that sounds nice, but often prideful and egotistical. And there's a place, yeah, there's a time when we need to stop praying and start working, absolutely, positively. And we pray so that we have the wisdom, the grace, and the strength to know what to do and have the ability to go do it. That's absolutely true. But sometimes we don't pray because we say, well, you know, I just rather, you know, take care of it, you know, because I don't know where that scripture is, but I believe that God helps those who help themselves. You won't find that scripture. Ben Franklin said that. There's a time for both. A time for both. One should not exclude the other. This is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, but honestly, I cannot see a legitimate reason why any of us could say, you know what, I just can't ever learn. I just don't really have the time to pray. You make time. You make time. You make time. I know what many of you say because you've said it to me. Well, I say, well, tell me about your personal time with the Lord. Well, I pray when I'm driving. You know how many times I've heard that said to me? And the way some of you drive, you should pray. And for the other crazies on the road, you should pray for them too. But anyway, I know. I get it. But let me ask you this question. Can you imagine saying to your spouse or to your kids, you know, I'm really, really busy, and the only time I can talk to you is when we're in the car. Think about that. You make time. I want you to think right now, this week, when can you carve out time? And it's different with all of us. We're different phases and stages and places of life, and it's not always like always this time. But I try to do it for me. I do it first thing in the morning because that's when my mind is freshest enough. I know if I get into the middle of the day, there's going to be 1,000 things coming at me. If I leave it for late at night, my mind will be exhausted. But come back to the cursed fig tree in prayer. What is that really all about? What is that really all about? It's interesting. It's interesting that the fig tree and prayer would be all tied together. But let me come back and just simply say something here. God isn't interested in us having all the externals down. He's interested in seeing how much power flows in us and through us to change the world. And that's the point he was trying to make to those disciples. Don't be like those religious leaders who had all the externals down. Make sure the power of God is flowing through you so that you can do the amazing to advance the kingdom of God and to bless people. Look at what he says. I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do the things like this and much more. You can even say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything and you have faith, you will receive it. It's a stunning promise, a shocking promise. I always ask this question, what's really happening in this context? Who is the author speaking to? In this case, he's speaking to his team, the 12. They weren't perfect guys by any stretch of the imagination. They had all kinds of shortcomings and issues and places of immaturity in their lives. But they had proven themselves to be more than just part of the crowd, hanger-oners, or the fan club of Jesus. They had proven themselves to be far more than that. They had followed Jesus closely for 3 years at this point, three plus years at this point. They had followed him carefully and closely. And their lives spoke of commitment, loyalty, and desire. I wonder if some of the reasons why some of us don't ever see dramatic answers to prayer is it because we just don't follow the Lord all that close. We're just not all that committed to Him. I wonder about that. See, God's a good manager. What if you were a manager, a boss, or a leader? And you had something extraordinary you wanted to do in them and through them. What individual would you choose for that role? Would you choose somebody that was haphazard and late all the time? Or would you choose somebody that had a proven track record of being able to handle things and get things done? Who would you entrust something of great value to? Do you think God does anything different? No, He doesn't. He doesn't. Who would you trust? this past week, what kind of fruit was in your life? What kind, when Jesus approached your life, was there fruit? Or was it all show and no go? What was it? I'm going to shift gears right here because I believe the most important thing that I can leave you with is this. Many of us want to pray, but we struggle to pray because we struggle to have faith to believe. And notice what Jesus said, if you'll have faith that you can do greater things than what have just been done. And those guys and would probably remember that as long as they lived on that day just outside the city where Jesus curses a fig tree and the thing begins to wither. And he uses that as a powerful example of the importance of prayer with faith. I'm going to share these with you quickly. Building faith to do the impossible. This is how you do it. The very first thing is, you've got to deepen your relationship with the Lord. You've got to take a deeper step. If your relationship with the Lord is showing up at this church once a week or a few times a month, that's not going to get it done. It's not about church attendance. Church is just designed to facilitate your relationship with the Lord and with His people. It's not about checking a box so that you can earn brownie points with God. That's like ridiculous. It's about drawing near. So as James says, he draws near to you. And don't forget, guys, still on James, Tuesday night. Deepen your relationship with the Lord. Draw near through prayer. Read the Word. Read the Word. Read the Bible. Read it. I don't like to read. Listen to it. Surround yourself with faith-building people. Hang around with people that are strong in their faith. If you hang around with a bunch of negative ninnies, you might end up being one like them. You hang around with Christians that are always negative and critical and skeptical and cynical, you'll become like them. You'll have to limit your exposure to them. Be careful who you spend your time with because they'll impact your ability to trust and believe. When somebody stands up at Seaport Community Church to give a testimony and they testify of something wonderful, amazing, or just something simple that God has done in their heart and their life, do this. Say, God, thank you for doing that for them because you did it for them. I know you can do that for me and I thank you. God is no respecter of person. He doesn't have favorites, okay? So he'll do for one what he'll do for you. And let your faith arise. Don't sit there and go, you don't get nothing like that ever. God, thank you. Thank you for doing that for them. You'll do that for me. Hallelujah. Act on your faith. Obedience, you know what I mean? Sometimes God says, okay, you want the miracle. You got to step out and do this. And we go, oh, no, I can't do that. I just want you to do the miracle without me taking the step. God said, no, you got to take the step. Oh, no, I can't take the step. I just need you to do the miracle. No, you got to take the step. A lot of miracles never happen because you and I don't take a step of faith. And I can tell you about some huge ones I've blown out in my life. I'll tell you one right now. I wasn't going to do this, but I'll tell you. A lot of years ago now, the Lord told me to do something. And it's going to sound crazy to you. It sounded crazy to me. God told me to buy 1 million shares of a penny stock. I said, that's ridiculous, Lord. That's just crazy. It was going to be like $45,000. I said, I can't do that. That's crazy. I can't do that. That's stupid. 2 weeks later, that penny stock, it was 4.5 cents, went to 60 cents. Miracle could have been had. I blew it through my lack of faith, my lack of obedience. Don't be like me in that case. You know, you have to step out. I'll never forget when Kathy Kosar came to me. She was really a brand new Christian. She said, God spoke to me and told me to sew 100 quilts. And I'm like, What? I said, Lord, I hope that was you because that's really kooky. I'll never forget the day she came to me. She said, I'm all done. I've sewn all 100 quilts. And she's looking at me like I'm going to do something with them. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with 100 quilts? I got visions of stacks of these things in the church attic till Jesus comes. I'm like, what are we going to do? I came up with these great ideas. Oh, we'll give it to this place. We'll give it to this place. And nobody wanted them. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then it had to be God. I had this idea. We're going to use quilts to help kids in Africa. That's got to be the craziest thing you ever heard of. Kids in Africa don't need quilts. But the sale of those quilts, I think we still have a few left. Hint, buy the rest of them. Those quilts raised thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that were turned into health insurance for kids in Ghana. I said, only you, God, would think of sewing quilts to give kids in sub-Saharan Africa. Crazy. Step out. Cultivate a lifestyle of worship and gratitude. Enter into worship, your prayer time and your personal time. Let it be filled with worship and with gratitude. I drove up to the church first thing this morning. It was early. I just sat in the parking lot, and I do this often. I just sat in the parking lot, and I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful building. Thank you for all the amazing people that will come to it in just the next few hours. Thank you for allowing us to be part of something that has literally touched the world. Thank you. Fill your heart and life with gratitude, because when you do, your faith will increase to believe God for greater things. There's greater things in my heart for this church. I hope I live long enough to see them. Deal with doubts and hindrances. I already told you about some of mine. You might have to confess, and I've had to do it too. I had to confess some of my doubt and unbelief. We all struggle with it. And sometimes you just have to simply say, God, I'm struggling here. I want to believe, but it's like the father who came with his son. I want to believe, but I can't believe. I'm struggling. Help me. Again, a story I've told before. Let me tell it again. Many years ago, a friend of mine called me up and he said, hey, I'm selling my Harley and I wonder if you'd like to buy it. And I said, dude, I ain't buying no Harley. I got other things I'm dealing with right now. My wife said, well, you should go up and see it. So we went up to Rhode Island where my friend lived and we looked at it. It was beautiful Harley, 06 Deuce. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I said, I can't buy this thing. This is crazy. I went home. He called me up and said, hey, I'll throw this in. I said, don't matter, dude. I'm not buying this motorcycle. I have other commitments. Call me again. And I said, you don't get it. I'm not buying this. So one day, this went on for a while. One day, I was sitting next to my garage door, just working on something. And the Lord said to me, buy the motorcycle, I'll help you pay for it. I'm like, what? Okay, crazy, but whatever. Called him up, arranged a deal. He was going to kind of hold the loan for me. I was going to make payments to him, that kind of a deal. And so this went on for some time. I got the motorcycle, was riding it, paying for it, and all this jazz. And he's a good friend of mine. A real committed Christian. And after many months, one day I said, Lord, I hate to say this, but you said you would help me pay for this. And as far as I can tell, you really haven't. You thought you were the only one that was honest with God. You know? Some of you are afraid to be honest with God. You think he's going to strike you down. There's nothing you're going to say he hasn't heard somebody like me say. So I said, Lord, I don't know. You said you were going to do this, but I don't see that you've done anything. And I was just kind of miffed. Because this was not my game plan to go buy this thing. I think that was like, I don't know, on a Thursday or Friday. That day, I would discover later, a letter came to the office that I didn't know about. And I would get it a couple days later. That letter arrived the same day. I said, Lord, I don't think you helped me here. I got it a few days later. I opened it up. It was from my friend. He said, I've been praying and the Lord has spoken to me to write off the balance of $4,000. You know what I did, right? Literally fell on my face and said, God, I'm an idiot. Help me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Help me. I just say that to you today to help you. You know what? Deal with the doubts and the hindrances. Exercise patience and perseverance. God will do it His way and His time, but trust Him. And lastly, seek God, not just the miracle. It's always about the relationship. The miracle is just a plus. Amen? It's always about. Do you know why some difficulties happen to you and why sometimes you have great needs? Because God is trying to use that to draw you into greater relationship with Him. He so desires Him to have a relationship with you. He allows those things not to do anything other than to show His glory and to demonstrate His great care and love for you. And He wants you to come into a closer relationship with Him. That's why. You know that, right? So let's close. Let the band come right now. And this is how we're going to close. We're going to roll back these seven. I want you to stand with me. This is how we're going to close. Let's go right through these seven. And I'm going to do this very quickly. I'm just going to simply, let's just do this. I'm going to say, I'm going to help you to do this. Let's just make a simple prayer. God, help me to deepen my relationship with you. Come on, do that with me. God, help me to deepen my relationship with you. Help me to do that. That means prayer and reading the word. Okay? God, help me to surround myself with faith-building people. Come on, say that. Lord, help me to surround myself with faith-building people. Help me not to give in to the doubters and the naysayers. Lord, when you tell me to act on something, help me to act on it. Come on, say that with me. Lord, help me to act on it so the miracle can come. I want to act on it. That's probably the toughest one. Lord, help me to live a life of worship and gratitude. Lord, may my life be filled with worship and with gratitude. Come on, say it with me. May my life be filled with worship and with gratitude. Hallelujah. God, help me to deal with my doubts and the hindrances. Help me to deal with my doubts. Help me to deal with my doubts. Come on, say it with me. Lord, help me to deal with my doubts. Help me just to be patient and to trust you. Lord, help me to be patient and to trust you. And lastly, Lord, I just want to draw near to you. Come on, say this. Lord, I just want to draw near to you. I just want to draw near to you, Lord. I don't want to make my whole thing about a miracle. I want to make it about you. God, help me not to make it about a miracle. Say this with me. Help me not to make it about a miracle. Help me not to make it about a miracle, but help me to make it about you. Put those things into practice. Put them into practice. The bottom line is Jesus wants to do the great and the mighty. He wants to move mountains in your life. He wants to do it. It's not like you got to twist his arm and persuade him and hopefully maybe if he's in the right mood, he'll do it. He wants to, but he's waiting for us. This is how we're going to close. The ministry team's going to come across the front right now. And if you say, I just need someone to pray with me that my faith can grow and I can trust God for the greater things, they'll pray with you about that. Or if you have another particular need, they'll pray with you about that as well. But they're going to come right now. Hallelujah. If you need someone just to pray with you that your faith can increase so that you can believe God for the miracles and the mountains to be moved, then come and have them pray with you. If you have another need, have them come. Let's sing this song. Just come on. Let them pray with you. Let's sing this song, and then we're going to close. Say this with me as we close. Father, help my faith to arise. Come on, say it with me. Father, help my faith to arise. To do the things. Come on, say this with me. To do the things you want to do in me and through me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. And now as we close, I pray that God, that this word would take residency in our hearts, would dwell in our hearts, and we'd act upon it. Trust you for that. In God, may we go forth and may people see the reality of Jesus in us and through us. Help us to love them for you, I pray. Amen, friends. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Engage will start right about noon with the high schoolers. God bless you guys. Hope to see you Wednesday night. Hallelujah. God bless you.